Welcome to episode 496 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and George and our special guest Robin.
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back, Robin. Iceland is a country nestled in the North Atlantic Ocean, and it is a land of contrasts. From its rugged coastlines to its steaming geysers, every corner of this island nation tells a story of resilience and adaptation. Robin took a quick trip to Iceland on her way to Europe, and she experienced some of its natural beauty, and she's here to tell us all about it. So let's get started. So I guess we should say that we are in Raleigh, Durham area, and RDU has Iceland Air now with nonstops to Reykjavik. So is that what you did? Was the Iceland Air?
Yes, I did Iceland Air, and I did it business class because the business class was half the price of the other airlines.
Ooh, okay.
And Iceland Air will give you a free stopover in Iceland if you're flying to the rest of Europe for up to, and you can stay up to 7 days, and that price doesn't go up.
Nice. So, I guess let's. I did want to talk about Iceland, but I want to talk about Iceland Air for just a second because. Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about it. Every time I price it, though, or look at it, there's, I think, at least three different tiers, right? There's different
levels. So they have their basic, like basic economy almost, then they have their economy, and then they have their, oh my gosh, their business class. And the business class is probably more like premium economy on Delta. The seats don't go back all the way, but they have like the little kits that they give you. You get two meals, one for dinner, one for breakfast. The service was really good. They serve Pepsi, which
I know you love that.
I know. And my luggage made it.
Nice. you hear that, Donna? That
that's always a good sign.
So a few things that I didn't love about it was they have very tight schedules and connections.
Unless you're taking a week over, like layover.
Yeah, it's an hour layover.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they never leave on time.
Okay.
So we're all waiting to leave, and this guy was pushing a wheelchair. And he's like, "Oh, don't rush. They're never on time."
Wow. Okay.
So you don't have to worry as much about the tight schedules, but I just don't like that.
Yeah, that would make me crazy.
We were
like
an hour late getting there and an hour late leaving. They don't have any lounge partners in RDU, so they have their own in Reykjavik. And when I left Reykjavik to go to Amsterdam, their lounge was beautiful. Okay. It was amazing.
Is that just for the business class, or can anybody like purchase a pass?
That's a good question. I am not sure. Okay. I know it's for business class, but I'm not sure if that's the case that they can pay extra for it.
Okay. Well, it's good to know they have the lounge. Okay. So let's talk about Iceland now. So just so people, if you're in our area or any other airline or any other city that Iceland Air flies out of, just know you can do like this kind of extended stay in Reykjavik. So how long did you stay in Iceland?
So I was there just for two nights.
Okay.
I was there by myself. It was my first vacation by myself. And I booked a hotel and I booked a few tours. And they were perfect because I saw everything I knew being there only for a day and a half, I wasn't going to see that much. So I made sure to see as much as possible by doing these two tours.
So how was the hotel? Where did you stay?
I stayed at the Radisson Blu 1919. I was expecting more because usually Radisson Blues are more high end. It was a fine hotel. But it was like a lower end Marriott.
So is that kind of true of hotels in Reykjavik in general? Like, is it, because I know Anchorage is like that, you know, like the really nice hotels are not as nice
That's
as you would
really
find.
That's a really good question. Yeah. Most of my people that I send to Reykjavik are families or couples, and they want the last like 4 or 5 trips that I've booked, they wanted like an apart hotel or a condo. Mm-hmm. So I was able to find something with one of our vendors, and I have people there right now, and they said the place was gorgeous.
Okay. And they're in like a condo type situation? Okay. Cool. That's good to know. So were you far from the airport? How does that work? Did you rent a car or?
No, I took an Uber.
Okay.
Actually, no. On the way back, I took an Uber. I took a taxi there. And it was about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a bad trip. And, you know, I got to the hotel. My flight got in at like, I think it was supposed to get in at 7 and it got in at 8 or something like that. So
we were going to PM or AM?
AM.
AM, okay. So were you able to check in or did you just?
I was. So because I'm a Radisson member, they said, oh, Radisson members get free early check-in. And I'm like, okay. So I was able to sleep for a few hours because I had a night tour and I wanted to be awake for it.
Yeah.
And then I walked around the city a little bit and it's really cool.
So it's walkable and you feel safe.
It's walkable. From where I was, you know, it was walkable within the area that I went. I went to some stores. I took a bunch of pictures of different things. I went down to the port. It wasn't like a cruise port right there. Actually, it might've been, doesn't matter.
Didn't see any cruise ships though.
but it was right by the water.
Okay.
And it was just a really beautiful place and just very different.
So you were there in, was it late March or middle March? Mid-March, right? What's the weather like in mid-March?
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold for me, being that I've lived in North Carolina for almost 20 years. The weather the first 2 days was much colder. And then the day that I left, it snowed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So my first tour, like I said, was in the evening, and it was to see the Northern Lights.
Nice.
And
did you see them?
I did. Awesome. I did. I was layered and layered, and I was still cold.
Yeah, because you do have to kind of be out there in the middle of the night, right?
And you're just standing there.
Yeah. Waiting. And it's like weather, you're not guaranteed, you know? So it's,
well, and the guy kept saying, he was so funny. He's like, Hey guys, look over there. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm staying up late to see this. I mean, I really didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And then after about a half hour, 45 minutes, all of a sudden we saw it and it was so cool. I couldn't get any videos, but I got some pictures.
So they just had you sitting outside waiting, standing around waiting?
Standing outside.
Okay. Wow.
So it was a small group tour, and they took us over in a van. Oh, and the one thing I want to say about Iceland is that a lot of the roads near the hotels are not big roads. Mm-hmm. So what they have is they have a system where they have a bunch of different bus stops, and that's where all the tour buses pick up and drop off. So I found out later on that I had two of them that weren't that far from me because my first tour had me meet at one and my second tour had me meet at a different one.
Oh, was it walkable from your hotel?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a stop pretty much walkable from all the hotels in Reykjavik.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, could you sit on the bus and wait for the
well, stuff so everyone's standing out here and and once we had seen it for like half hour, I'm like, can I go sit in the bus? Because I was just so cold. And yeah. I it's hard for me to stand in one spot for a long time. But they gave us hot chocolate and some little cookies. The hot chocolate was really good.
How far out of the city did you have to drive?
So he drove to one place and then said, no, this isn't going to work. He called some people because I guess they have like a network. Mm-hmm. And he went to this other place. So we probably drove over an hour.
Wow.
Okay. To get there and to get back. But I mean, they tell you that, you know, they're picking you up at like 9 and it's a 4-hour tour. So,
you know, it'll be.
Yeah.
Did they give you any tips on photography or like talk about? No.
And I wish I had looked up more because I really wanted to get some videos and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that, well, I don't know. I did a tour similar to this in Fairbanks several years ago, about 5 years ago. And it was focused on photography, which was really cool. And if you had a camera, they would set your camera up, which was really cool. But I feel like in the last 5 years, cell phone cameras have probably gotten a lot better too, you know? Yeah. So like, I just wonder.
I mean, like I said, I got some decent pictures. Well, they weren't great pictures, but they were decent with my phone. But I definitely want to go back for a longer time and also to bring my husband.
Yeah.
And when I go back, I'm definitely going to do some more research on how to photograph it.
So one of the things I remembered was I can't remember, George, you might know because you have good cameras, right? But like it's whenever you have to leave your exposure on for a long time, like you have to, I want to say you had to hold still or put it on a tripod for like at least 30 seconds to really, and then it looked, you would see the picture and you realized that the picture was better than what you could see with the naked eye, kind of.
See, actually, to me, the photos were not as good as the real thing.
From the cell phones or from someone who had a camera?
I think that was it. I have to look at them, but they seem to be more like the coloring's different in the picture. Cause I did that. I held it up. I, you know, kept it in one spot.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I got some pictures.
Yeah. Well, and you'll go back, get to do it again.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
So did you have, because the volcanoes are erupting right now in Iceland, did you have any kind of issues with the volcanoes?
No, because I did a tour of the Golden Circle. The Golden Circle goes away from the airport. Well, not really. The volcano's not that far from the airport. And it's funny because there was a girl on my flight who was going to the Blue Lagoon, which is much closer to the airport. Mm-hmm. And she, I said to her, isn't that closed? And she's like, well, I have a ticket. And then I found out it closed 2 days later again because of the volcanoes, because it had closed and then it reopened. But so we did not have any issues with the volcanoes that were erupting because we went in the other direction.
That's good.
Yeah,
because the Blue Lagoon, they've been closing it on and off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go at the end of my tour, on my second day, I got to go to the Sky Lagoon, which I loved.
So talk about the Golden Circle tour. So what was this like?
So the Golden Circle tour, again, it was a small group tour because I figured if I'm going for a short amount of time, I'm going to go in a smaller vehicle with less people. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we got on the road and we went to, and I'm probably butchering the name, Thingvellir National Park. And this is where the continental plates are tearing apart. And you can stand with 1 foot in North America and 1 foot in Europe.
Wow, that's cool.
There's a lot of history in it, but it was very pretty, you know, outside of it. And then we went to Geyser, which is a geothermal area, and it has a lot of hot spring activity. So they used to have a hot spring geyser that it doesn't go off anymore. It was called the Great Geyser. But there's another one called Stroker, which is not far from it. And it's like Old Faithful and erupts every few minutes. And you smell all the sulfur. But it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So do they have it like they do at Old Faithful where you can't walk anywhere near it? I mean, I assume they have to.
No, they don't. You can walk near it. But it's funny because the guide said, if you see people standing in a spot and you see this empty spot in front of them, don't go in front of them. They're standing there for a reason.
Wow.
So they had like a circle around it, but I mean, it was something you could walk over if you wanted to.
Wow. That's so dangerous. We're like, no, you have to put up guardrails. I could see someone like trying to take a selfie and just walking straight into it. That's terrible.
So next was, I did it and then, okay. next, we went to Gold Falls. Now, these are waterfalls. They're called the Gold Falls. Mm-hmm. And it's fed by a glacier nearby that has freezing meltwater. And it's so beautiful. And they gave us this really cool story about how the town wanted to close the waterfall and do something else with it. And this was a long time ago. And the owners didn't want to do that because they wanted to try to make money from it. And they said, look, if you do it this way, we can make money when people come visit, but it'll also keep this so nobody can touch it. You know, he wanted to make it like a historic or national monument type thing. Mm-hmm. So they did it, and it like has a corner. I mean, it was really cool. And there's different areas you can see it from. I'm really glad I saw it. It was really pretty.
It sounds like the kind of place that is all a national park, you know, like it sounds
really most of it is
gorgeous.
And then we went to the South Coast and we visited Carib, which is a volcanic crater. It's only a few thousand years old and it looks really colorful because of the iron deposit in the rocks. It was very striking. The lake looked turquoise. Well, it was turquoise. It was just a shallow lake, and it was just really pretty.
Nice.
And also, I think in between two of those, they brought us to this area where we could see Icelandic horses. So it seems that...
How different are Icelandic horses?
They're horses with probably much thicker fur.
Okay.
And legally, you cannot take an Icelandic horse out of Iceland.
Okay.
But there's a place where, like, they have one of these things where you pay for some food. Well, you can get some, they called it horse candy. And you put a donation in.
Mm-hmm.
So our driver did that for us. And we got this stuff and we were able to feed them and we got pictures with them. It was fun.
So they were friendly and they came right up to you. And you
it seems like what they do, because I was looking it up earlier just to get more of a background on it,
mm-hmm.
that certain farmers come out different days with their most tame ones.
Okay.
So that they're not scaring people away. And they're behind, you know, behind a fence.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pet them and you can feed them. So that was really cool.
Nice.
And then at the end of the day, we went to the Sky Lagoon. And the Sky Lagoon is somewhat new. And they brought us there for 2 hours. They have this enormous pool, and it's an infinity pool.
Oh.
But it's all fresh water, and it's hot because it's on, you know, over a geothermal, can't remember what it's like called.
Spring, yeah.
And you can even do like a 7-step ritual.
But oh, like a mud thing or something?
No, you go in warm water, you know, you're in the warm water, then you go in cold water, then you go in warm water again, then you like go in an ice bath, then fresh
like
air.
It's like a hydrotherapy.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm here, finally warm. I am not getting cold again.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be really good for your circulation and stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't care. I'll sit in the hot tub the whole time.
I always skip the cold parts.
They have a cafe, a cave, saunas, a swim-up bar.
Nice.
And you had like a little thing on your wrist, and you could charge things to it. So I charged a soda to it. But it was cool. I mean, it was just, it felt so good after being cold for 2 days.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, just like,
It sounds really nice. So did they have, I'm assuming they have some kind of changing room.
Yes.
Do you kind of, surely you're not running through the cold air.
No. Okay. So they have changing rooms. The changing rooms are very nice. So they have two types of changing rooms. We did the premium one. So we had our changing room had a shower in it.
Okay.
So we could shower, and they had like soap and shampoo and conditioner. I don't know what the other one is like. I'm guessing it was more like just open to, you know, everyone's changing in front of each other. They give you some place to lock your stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's much warmer in there, and then you go outside. But when you go outside, it's more like a cave almost at that point. So it's not, you know, if it's windy, you're not going to feel that wind.
Okay.
And certain areas of it were warmer than others. They said that it's based just how geothermic pools are. But it was, they had a waterfall. So nice.
So is it, I know a lot of people will schedule a layover long enough to go visit the Blue Lagoon. Is this close enough that you could do that, or do you need like an overnight stay?
So it's a little further out. Mm-hmm. So I think this would be more of an overnight stay, or if you're coming in the morning and then leaving like late afternoon or evening, you could do it. But if you have a 2 or 3 hour layover, I don't think that's enough time. Yeah. Blue Lagoon actually has a booth at the airport. So if you've prepaid for tickets and you're going from your flight, you know, during either before you get in, that's where you go, and they'll tell you where to go to the buses to get there. Mm-hmm. For they didn't have anything like that for Sky Lagoon.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it's because Sky Lagoon is a little further out.
And how were the crowds at Sky Lagoon? Did it feel
bad? No? There were a lot of people there, but it's big. So I didn't feel crowded at all. And this one's adult only.
Oh, nice. Well, okay.
It's either adult only or like teenager and up. I think I saw like one teenager.
Cool.
They have a cafe, and I got some hot chocolate. It was just a great experience, and I can't wait to do it again.
So all said and done, how long was that tour? It sounds like it was all day.
That was a 10-hour tour.
Yeah, okay.
Then I went back to my hotel, went back to sleep, and got up for a 7 o'clock flight that wasn't on time.
7 o'clock p.m. or a.m.? A.m., okay.
Yeah, by the time that I got to Amsterdam, I was exhausted, but happily exhausted.
Yeah. So we didn't actually talk about food. I know you're kind of a picky eater, but how did you find the food in Iceland?
Expensive, but not, I mean, it was good. I went to this one place that had breakfast all day. So I had pancakes, and they were really good. Then for another one, I just went to like a street vendor that had stuff that I would eat and brought it up to my room so that I wouldn't have to worry about going back out.
Okay. Cool. So it sounds like this was like the perfect amount of time for you.
At the time, I definitely would like to go longer, possibly rent a car. About half my clients rent a car. Mm-hmm. And some of them are like, I don't want a car. I don't want to do anything, you know.
Yeah.
But then there's others who are more, I guess, more adventurous and want to explore on their own.
Yeah.
Which it's a great place to do that.
Nice. Anything else you want to mention that we haven't touched on?
So I have a few fun facts.
Okay.
That Iceland that they gave us on the tours. And let's see. So the Northern Lights are, actually forget that one. Reykjavik is the most northern capital of any country in the world.
Okay.
12% is covered by glaciers. They had the first woman president in the world. The prime minister is a lesbian woman.
Okay.
Iceland sits on top of the North Atlantic Ridge. There's only one tree that has always grown in Iceland. All the rest they've brought in. And it's a really weird looking tree.
I'm picturing like a Christmas tree.
No. No. 390,000 people live in Iceland.
Oh.
Arctic foxes have been in Iceland for over 3,000 years.
Okay.
That's it?
Nice.
Actually, there's one more little factoid I've heard about Iceland is that that most of the families or the people that live there permanently have to have a card that shows which family they're actually from so that they don't date their cousins several times removed.
Donna.
No, I'm not kidding. You have to go, if you want to get married, you have to make sure that you're not too closely related to the person that you're dating.
Wow. Makes sense.
Because they basically, it's such a small island and they have intermarried for so long that everybody's related.
Wow.
Yeah, they're telling us that there were these main families in the beginning. And when they started finally talking to each other, because they were all so far apart and it was hard to get in between, that they would do like this once a year trek. And they would go to right near where the tectonic plates were. And there's a big lake, and they would do it around that lake. And that's where they would come up with most of their laws during that once a year, because a lot of the people didn't live in Reykjavik, and they didn't want to come to Reykjavik. So it was a little more central for the whole island.
How long was your flight to Iceland from RDU?
I believe it was around 6.5 hours.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't enough time to sleep.
Yeah. That's 2 meals is a lot in 6.5 hours too.
Well, I think it was also because it was business class. I don't know if the people in the back got 2 meals.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And we'd like to thank Robin for joining us this evening. Thank you,
Thank you for inviting me.
Yay. On behalf of Donna, George, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.